You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Fresh off a trip back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I guarantee you he gained a minimum of 3.5 pounds. I'm going low on the poundage because he works out. I don't. I think Archibald's probably got hit, maybe five, maybe Chuck's. So he had to go back, breathe a little bit, and his wife, Miss Lee, made him get on the treadmill. We're talking about one of the best in the business, Reese Davis from ESPN's College Game Day. Returns to ESPN Radio to talk college hoop and college football. RD, how accurate am I on the weight gained in a game day trip back to Tuscaloosa?
You know what? It wasn't as bad as it could have, or perhaps even should have been, because they brought Dreamland to us, and unlike a lot of times on football, where somehow after they bring the food to the set, it just disappears, never to be seen again.
Right.
There was some of that left over, but I did have a little Dreamland. I had a burger from Avenue Pub, the new location, which is strong. And of course, my favorite is just an absolutely spectacular dinner at Chuck's Fish, which, you know, even Boston native and New Yorker Jess Sims has said that Chuck's Fish in Tuscaloosa, best sushi she's ever had.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I catch holy hell nonstop, Reese. I will tell people that Chuck's Fish in downtown Tuscaloosa is the best sushi I've ever had, and people laugh at me. I had to drag Herbstreet in there. He agrees. Darren Brown agrees. You agree. So will you please go ahead and elaborate before we get to ball about the greatness of that sushi joint with Chris Eddings and his crew at Chuck's.
I mean, Chris, Chris makes sure the fish is fresh every day, comes in, I think mostly from the Gulf, if not all from the Gulf. They've got master sushi chefs there who just do a phenomenal job. I tend to prefer just your basic great piece of fish over a little bit of rice, you know, the little rice ball thing, whatever you call it in the theory. Yeah. But the rolls are very creative and very good. I enjoy them as well. It's so fresh. It's so, you know, so expertly prepared and presented. It's just phenomenal. I love going there.
So there you go. I gained 4 pounds just talking to you right now, Reese. Let's get the ball, right? Reese Davis.
Let's get the ball. And how about I start with the team I saw Saturday night in Tuscaloosa?
Come on, Tennessee.
I think they can be a one seed, and I think they can go to the Final Four. They're different from some of the other Tennessee teams, but still maintaining all of the quality that they've had defensively for years since Rick's been there. And, you know, Rick Barnes is, you know, a tremendous defensive coach, as everyone knows. And Dalton Connect, I think he's made them different, but he didn't have to go off. I thought the most impressive thing I saw from Tennessee on Saturday night was the fact that they were down in the second half. Connect got, you know, a little minor foul trouble, sat a little bit. And you thought, okay, when he's going to need to come back in and save them. Well, he came back in and he contributed. He made a really, really big shot. But he didn't have to go off on them the way he did against Auburn earlier in the week and score, you know, 9 field goals on 11 shots and touched it 17 of the 18 possessions down the stretch against Auburn. He didn't have to do that. And they had other guys who made huge shots. The Kai Ziegler people know about. Meshack was just outstanding. That's a Final Four team. Now, I don't think they're better than Connecticut. I just don't. Can they beat Connecticut? Well, yeah, they can line up and knock them off. I think Connecticut's the best team. I don't know that I'm quite saying Tennessee's number two yet, but I am saying they're a one seed, I believe. they can make the Final Four. They're really good, man. They are really good.
Yeah, and they can beat you in different ways, Reese. So I'm going to give you a couple teams and see if you want to add to this list. And Reese Davis, ESPN's College Game Day here with us on ESPN Radio, getting you ready for Championship Week, which will be here before we know it. Heck, some conferences like the A-Sun have already cranked it up, so get ready. Madness is already here in March. There are several teams that I've seen that can beat you in multiple ways. They can beat you in a rock fight in the 40s or run with you in the 80s or 90s, and that's UConn, Purdue, and Houston. And now you're adding Tennessee. Is there any other team out there that we're missing? Because I think that's critical when it comes to surviving and advancing in March.
Well, I still think Arizona can, because I still think, and I know this is blasphemous to some coaches, but I still believe basketball to be an offensive game in which defense is important and necessary. But we talk about defense all the time in college basketball for some reason. Thankfully, we're getting back to more offense, and Arizona's a great offensive team. So I think Arizona can do it. I think North Carolina can. I don't think North Carolina is playing its best ball right now, but they're certainly capable, and I think Duke's capable. But I do think the teams we mentioned, I think UConn's the best team. And then I'm not sure who's second best, because I know my colleagues on game day yell at me about this. I'm not sold on Purdue. It doesn't have anything to do with Purdue's talent or coaching. They've got plenty of both of those things. They've got some institutional tournament baggage that they're going to have to find a way to get over. Sometimes programs get over that by just blitzing their way through the tournament. Sometimes they get over it by not just surviving against the team they ought to beat, but surviving a great game against a really good team, and they sort of exhale. They are able to avoid that, oh no, it's happening again, that I'm sure is not a conscious thought, but sort of manifests itself because the opposing or the neutral crowd gets behind the higher seed or the lower seed trying to knock off the higher seed. It gets a little tight. You miss some shots. And because of the number of failures that they've had in the tournament in recent years, and Seth Greenberg, pointed out to me the other day, he said, now look, one of those losses was in the Sweet 16. I said, it was to a 15 seed, Seth. That counts too. And, so they've lost to a 15 and a 16 and I think a 13, maybe 13 or 14 when they lost to North Texas. That adds up, man. And I don't know why it shouldn't. Everybody that was in those games, they aren't in on this team necessarily. But for some reason, you see it add up. Now, Virginia answered and had a couple of escapes along the way when they came back and won the national championship, and maybe Purdue will. But, I don't know that I believe in Purdue. I saw Houston in person last week, called their game. I like them. But I do worry about them offensively, and they've had a couple of injuries that hurt their depth a little bit. But among those teams, I'm going to be honest. I think I like Tennessee a little bit better than I like those teams in terms of March going into the tournament. Not better than UConn, but probably a hair better than those others.
He's Reese Davis, ESPN College Game Day host on the basketball side and the football side. So, RD, let me segue quickly here and get your thoughts on the future of college football. Here's Jimbo Fisher, former head coach, Florida State, Texas A&M, a longtime college football lifer, on this morning here on our morning show on Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman on the future of college football. Give it a listen.
I would find one guy that oversees college football, just like you do in the NFL. You have one commissioner, one thing. So everything is fair across the board, no matter what your conference is. I mean, everybody says Nick should be the guy. You know what I'm saying? He knows, but okay, what about the bit? I'm not saying he doesn't, but somebody's got to have the business end of that, because TV and marketing right now and the amount of money for the players, the coaches, the schools, and everything that goes on, you have to manage that too. And I think we're heading that way. I may be crazy, but I see it now with the major conferences all coming together, and there may be that break of the 50, 60, 70, however many schools get into that group of teams that separates themselves in Division I sports. And I'm not saying that's good, but I see it coming.
Reese, not only that's Jimbo saying that, but last week Trent Dilfer, head coach at UAB, was on with our guys Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik on WJOX in Birmingham. He said the same thing, that it's not about if, it's a matter of when, and he believes it's going to be sooner than later. What do you think?
I think it's headed that way, and I think it's probably going to happen. Ian, because at some point when you start trying to maximize revenue, you have to start determining who is helping you generate that revenue and who is generating the revenue and who's being a drain on the revenue, or at least not producing at the same level. And because of that, that will probably lead to a breakaway. And like Jimbo, I'm not sure that it's good. I just think that's the way it's going to be. The other thing he said that I'm a little more skeptical about, it might evolve over a long period of years, is this idea of installing a commissioner. Everybody thinks that's such a great idea. Well, maybe it is, but show me the last group of people who voluntarily give up either power or money. I can't find them. And if you cede your power to a commissioner, you're giving up power. You're probably maybe not giving up money, but you're giving up power. So I'm a little skeptical of that happening sooner rather than later, but I wouldn't be surprised if not at all. In fact, I anticipate that at some point, I don't know, over the next decade, maybe sooner, that you'll probably have this type of split. And it might fall in line with how the playoff is structured, as they, for some inexplicable reason, are already talking about going to 14 before we've even played a single game at 12.
RD, we always appreciate the time. And, folks, you will never catch him with a hair out of place, as they said on the broadcast of Alabama and Tennessee, meaning Dan Shulman and Jay Billis. Why? Because he's a dapper Dan man. RD, thank you so much, as always, buddy.
Did they say a lot of bad things about me when I was sitting there, you know, with really good seats, you know, and I looked at Jimmy Sexton was sitting beside me, and I said, and Jalen Milroe, and I said, I don't know what they're saying about me, but I can promise you it's not good.
No, it was actually it was a compliment, and never without a hair out of place. That was a direct quote from Shulman. And then Billis added that goes for all three of us, which is, you know what? Yeah. Correct. There you go. RD, thank you, man. We've kept you too long. I appreciate it, buddy.
Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. That's Reese Davis from ESPN's College Game Day. Never a hair out of place right here on ESPN Radio. All right, Matt Jones is going to bring him back in coming up. And when you return, I promise you, a heated debate will happen, either on the future of college football or sushi in Tuscaloosa, right here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
If you're ever on the road driving through Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Chuck's Fish House.
Keep going.
Unbelievable. I heard that. I'm going to let that slide. He's Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons.
That was a joke. I like Tuscaloosa fine. And there's no better place to be for a football game. I mean, of course. But I was just, you know. You're trying to make – you and Reese Davis trying to make the argument the best sushi is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
All right, so in case you are just tuning in, and every now and then when Matt and I get teamed up here, we will go on tangents that have absolutely nothing to do with sports, but we try to tie it in with sports. So what we've done here is Reese Davis had just joined us talking, you know, championship week and the future of college football. We'll touch on the future of college football as a potential split is about to happen, in our opinion. We'll get into that coming up in a moment. But I asked Reese, man, when you go back to Tuscaloosa, I'm assuming you gained minimum 3.5 to 4 pounds. You hit up Archibald's Barbecue, maybe some Dreamland, a little bit, or maybe of some Moe's, five. And then I brought up Chuck's, and he goes, "Stop right there. That's where it's at." Chuck's is an amazing job. Hold on. Now, you had to step aside for some business. You're back. Here's Reese Davis on the sushi at Chuck's.
Chris, make sure the fish is fresh every day. Comes in, I think, mostly from the Gulf, if not all from the Gulf. They've got master sushi chefs there who just do a phenomenal job. I tend to prefer just your basic great piece of fish over a little bit of rice, you know, the little rice ball thing, whatever you call it in the theory. But the rolls are very creative and very good. I enjoy them as well. I mean, it's so fresh. It's so, you know, so expertly prepared and presented. It's just phenomenal. I love going there.
I mean, listen. He went on to say,
even Jess Sims, who has traveled the world with Peloton, says it is one of her favorite
sushi spots.
First of all,
I don't know if you know, Peloton stay in one place. That's the whole point. So no, I'm not taking that as traveling the world. I like you a lot, and I like Reese Davis, but that is the most not. Let me ask you a question. If I were to say to you, you're from New Orleans. If I were to say to you, the best Cajun food I found in a little town in Japan, you'd be like, shut up. Well, that's what I feel like when you all try to tell me that the best sushi is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then Reese has the audacity to say it's fresh. Fresh from what waters? Like, you know, like Tompkins over there next to it? Are you kidding me? Stop. I like you all. I can say sushi might be good. I mean, I can take that. There's a sushi place in Lexington that's all right. But the idea that the best sushi in America is it. Well, you don't. I mean, where have you been? Have you been to like an elite place in New York for sushi?
Dude, in Malibu, California, when I was covering the Cowboys, Jerry Jones has his media party and they serve up at this damn hoity-toity restaurant.
So you're trying to look at me and say that the sushi and in Tuscaloosa, Alabama is better than Malibu, California. Just stop.
I'm just telling you. I've had it. And by the way, if you're going to tell me that you have a place in Okinawa that has the best Cajun food you've ever had, my ass is getting on a plane and I'm going to go try it. You are not far from Tuscaloosa. You have not had Chuck's. I have.
It's not about having Chuck's. It's about just where the idea that anyone who was the best at sushi would be like, you know where I want to go? Rural Alabama. That's where I want to go to practice my craft.
I'm just telling you. I was as shocked as anybody. I was stunned.
You know what?
I'm one of the best
fishermen in the world. You know where I'd like to live? Los Angeles, California. You wouldn't choose that. You would not go
there.
That's
why we're all so shocked, Matt. We are stunned.
Since you have such poor judgment about sushi, what is your judgment about what should happen with college football? Because I have to think anyone that makes that determination is going to be equally bad in their college football.
You're so wrong. That's what makes it amazing is that it was and is that good.
Stop.
James, you're about to say something before we get to college football. Go ahead. What do you got?
I was wondering if it's just where the bar is set for Alabama sushi, that it's better.
Don't get me wrong, James.
I mean?
Like, I can believe it's the best in Alabama.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Chuck's blows Chuck's blows Davy Boys in Mobile out on the sushi train. I'll believe that. But the idea that it's the best in the country, just come on.
I'm telling you. That's why I was stunned. Next time you're there, when your beloved Kentucky Wildcats.
I'm going to get barbecue. I'm not going.
He's going to Moe's Original Barbecue and getting a three-point stance and firing off. All right. Now to our regularly scheduled program. He's Matt Jones and me and Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. I do believe that the future of college football is – and look, Gene Stallings told me this in 1995. That the future of college football was going to be three, maybe four mega conferences. Basically, all the powers are going to split, and that's where you're going to have your big boy national championship. And the SMUs of the world, or the Tulsas, or whomever else, best of luck to you.
How long does Gene Stallings get to be right? If he said it in 1995, does that you going to give him 100 years and he's still correct? I mean, that was a long time ago.
Well, I mean, it's going to happen. And there's no doubt in my mind that I looked at him like he was an alien when he said, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, three mega conferences? What do you mean? What? It's never going to happen. And he said, yeah, with college expansion, eventually it's going to happen. And then here we are. We're on the precipice of it. Jimbo Fisher just talked about it this morning on Unsportsmanlike, where you're going to have the power, the now Power Four maybe even consolidated one step further to three mega conferences. And Trent Dilfer on the potential college football split was on with Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik on WJOX in Birmingham. Here's what he had to say. Here's the UAB head coach.
I think what's coming, I'm pretty confident in this, talking to people far more powerful than me, but these are billionaires in the Bay Area, and there's going to be a break off of about 50 to 60 teams, and they're going to be professional football. And then everybody else is going to be what you're saying. Is this, call it G5, call it college football, call it whatever you want. We're going to be competing on hopefully a more level playing field. That's coming way faster than anybody can anticipate. And there's people active. There's venture capitalists right now actively looking to buy college franchises.
Now, that last part's way above my pay grade, Matt. But I agree with everything else that we are, and I think maybe in the next 3-4 years, you're going to see mega conferences happen.
Maybe. I mean, the playoff contract goes through 2034, so we're still going to have a little bit of time. It's going to be a decade before they do. But is that likely to what happens in some form? Yeah. I mean, the NCAA as a football institution can't work the way it is if you want it to be really competitive. Every other sport, the small school has a shot, at least at glory for a minute. It doesn't happen in football just because of the sheer numbers of how many programs there are. I'm accepting that it's going to happen. I'm fine with it. Here's what, selfishly, I hope doesn't happen. I hope they don't take basketball with it. I hope the NCAA tournament doesn't go with it.
It won't.
Because if they do, if the NCAA tournament becomes the 64 biggest schools, it won't be the same thing. It just won't.
That's not going to happen.
I hope you're right. As long as that doesn't happen, then football, I'm fine with it. I think you're right. It'll be 20 Big Ten schools, 20 SEC schools, and then what's left of the ACC and Big 12 combined,
that's exactly right.
They're 20, and it's 60 teams. That's probably where we're at.
And you know what? It may not be bad for the game. And
I don't think it would.
As Trent Dilfer just said, you know, you're just going to have different championships at more levels now. That'll be the big boy, and then 1AA and D2.
I'd be fine with it. I just hate that Kentucky's going to be in a conference that we can't ever win. At least put us in the ACC or Big 12 so we have a shot at winning it.
He's Matt Jones. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. He is Keon Tucky Blue through and through. Coming up next, when you return, Matt Miller on everything that involved the Combine, one of our top NFL draft experts, joins us next right here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Adam Schefter has reported Buccaneers and five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans reached an agreement on a two-year, $52 million contract.
The number, the average per year, 26, is a good number for Mike Evans, and I think it reflects an organization that appreciates what he's done and sees him as kind of a unique and unprecedented player.
He has put quarterbacks on the map, and he's a big reason why we feel so positive about Baker Mayfield. This was the right move for the Buccaneers, and I think even in those two seasons, he's going to do what he did in the last two seasons and even outplay the contract past expectations.
This is not country.
This isn't even music.
No, this isn't even a rockabilly. This is twerking at a Luke Bryan concert.
Whoever decided to play this,
Rachel
should be
Robinson, devoted. Our AP tonight.
This one was an accident. This was not picked for this segment.
Mercy.
I just need that to
an accident.
Know.
You get two Southerners on. You're going to play Luke Bryan. That's sacrilegious. With Matt Jones, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. He's in for Amber Wilson here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Matt Miller is one of the best in the business. He's fresh off the combine. He has had hardly any sleep, but he's good enough to join us right now to give you the recap of the combine. But first, Matt, thank you for your time as always. Luke Bryan, yay or nay? Are you a Luke Bryan fan or no?
No, I was going to say we got three Southerners on here now. I qualify. Southern Missouri. No.
Do you live in Louisville? No. You have a 502 number. Are you a Louisville guy?
No. So funny story, appropriate for radio. A long time ago, in 2008, I met my ex-wife in 2008. She was from Louisville.
Sorry.
And she had a better phone plan than me, so I switched.
You're still on your ex-wife. You're still on your ex-wife's phone plan?
No, I'm not anymore. No. Okay. But, you know, like, this was the number I had when I came up through the industry, so gotcha. I can't just, like, change my number. Adam Schefter has this phone number. I can't change it. Like, come on.
That's a great point. Yeah, no, it makes sense. But, by the way, I love the fact that Matt asked you, Matt, meaning Miller, Jones to Miller, are you still on your ex-wife's phone?
Well, I would have respected that level of hustle, to be honest with you.
In divorce proceedings,
if I could be, guys, I would. You know.
All right, we're getting the move on in a hurry here from our producer James Steele. Before we get into the combine, Matt, when you look back on the deal that Tampa just gave Mike Evans, 2 years, $50+ million, what does that say, one, about Baker Mayfield's future in Tampa, and what do you think of the deal that the Bucs just gave Mike Evans?
Yeah, guys, I actually graded this for .com today. I gave it a B-. I love Mike Evans. He's one of my favorite football players ever. I mean, great guy. Hall of Fame wide receiver, in my opinion. I don't love the move for Tampa in a historically deep wide receiver class. I don't love the idea of giving a 31-year-old, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed. To me, it's a sentimental move. It's not like this feels like a team that's trying to go all in. And as you said, like if they don't get Baker or better, then this is a wasted move. And so I think if you're Baker Mayfield's agent, you're really, really happy today because Tampa has basically signaled they have to bring you back because you don't sign a 31-year-old receiver to this type of money and then draft a quarterback or go with a Justin Fields type quarterback situation. So I think if you're Baker Mayfield, and you're probably celebrating a little bit tonight.
Matt, when I talk to people that are not sort of draft, dorks, like they aren't into it as a fan, they all sort of have the same question, which is the combine, why do people care so much about it in terms of like teams especially? I get it from an athleticism point of view, but when it comes to quarterbacks, I was reading and hearing people say J.J. McCarthy really helped himself. I'm following Devin Leary, who was at Kentucky, really helped himself. What do teams get from the combine for quarterbacks? I mean, we've seen these dudes play over and over. Can a guy like J.J. McCarthy or Devin Leary or Sam Hartman, can they really help themselves in that setting, and why?
Yeah, I think they can, but I think it's more in what happens behind the scenes than it is what we see on the field. You know, it's the interviews, which are hugely important. You know, you mentioned like Sam Hartman, he goes through that process at the Senior Bowl, which I would argue is just as good. The difference being that you have all 32 decision makers at the combine. You might not get that at the Senior Bowl. And so like that part matters a lot more than, hey, let's watch these guys throw for half an hour. Now, I would say last year, CJ Stroud's throwing workout, I don't know that his stock went up, but it probably got solidified because of how good that workout was. But if he had bombed his interviews, we wouldn't be talking about how good the workout was, right? So like what happens behind the scenes is much more important. But I do think that you can leave a mark. You know, Josh Allen had a great workout. I remember, thinking, oh, wow, okay, that's different. You know, that type of arm is different than anything else I've ever seen. CJ last year was another one. Anthony Richardson last year had the great athletic workout. So, I think it does help. So, like, for my job, what I do, I don't see these guys all throw in person throughout the year. It's just impossible to do. So being able to evaluate them one after another, throwing in person, does really help, at least with the context of like arm strength and velocity. I'm not going to watch J.J. McCarthy throw 40 passes to guys he's never thrown to before and be like, oh, he's accurate, or oh my God, he's not accurate. Like, you can't make that snap judgment in that environment, but there are things where it is helpful.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, giving you a recap of what he saw at the NFL Combine. Joining us here on ESPN Radio with Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. So of the quarterbacks that you did watch that did participate in any form or fashion, and even Caleb Williams to a degree, just with what you've heard with interviews and, just watching him. I mean, that dude is waiting around to thank all of the NFL personnel at the end of the Combine, for sticking around and helping them with drills. To me, that says something. But who really helped themselves from the quarterback position that really stood out to you and your time over there at the Combine in Indy?
Yeah, I had a great 5 minutes with Caleb coming off doing SportsCenter one afternoon. He was really fun to talk to, everything I've heard is he you can't help yourself when you're the foregone conclusion first pick in the draft, but I think he alleviated any concerns that people might have had about the personality. As someone who did help themselves, I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. And I know what you're thinking. We watched him carve up Texas. That's one of the best games I've seen a quarterback play in a long time. But then he goes out against Michigan, has the worst game of his career at Washington. So you're trying to figure out which guy is he? You know, which one are we getting? He had the best throwing workout of any quarterback who was here. Now, obviously, no Caleb Williams, no Jaden Daniels, no Drake May. But he had the best workout. And you can tell that he's put in work since the season ended, even since the Senior Bowl, on cleaning up some of the lower body issues that plagued him at times. He's doing a much better job of getting his lower body involved and not being such an arm thrower. With Penix, though, it's all going to come down to medicals, which is the other part of the combine that is probably the most important part of it, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, are the medicals. That's where it matters the most for him. You know, what does he show in the – what do the physicals show? Because he's had two ACL injuries on his right knee, and he's had two shoulder injuries, one to each shoulder. So that's the stuff that you know, we can't televise, obviously, but it is what's really most important about what goes on at the combine.
Talking to Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. So give me a guy who, based on after the regular season, whether it's the combine or the senior days, et cetera, give me a guy who went from second, third-round pick to now is going to be a first-round pick and a name we're all going to know.
Yeah, I don't know that we've seen that kind of jump this year, honestly, because there are so many blue-chip players. Like, you know, there are five quarterbacks who are going to be selected in the first round. That's been pretty static. There are, you know, 6 to 10 offensive linemen who are going to be drafted in the first round. I don't think that has changed a whole lot. Maybe at center, Jackson Powers Johnson has jumped up. The one guy that maybe, like I would say, pre-Senior Bowl was on the fringe of the first round and now has a shot to be a top 15 pick is Toledo corner Quinyon Mitchell. And that is certainly falls in that category of a name that you probably don't know unless you're as you said earlier, unless you're a draft nerd like myself or a draft dork.
I didn't mean that you're name, paid but... for it. I mean the people that aren't paid for it that
no,
do it.
No, yeah, no, it worked. It's all good. I think Quinyon Mitchell is that player who, you know, he's going to get selected ahead of guys who are bigger name players. He's going to, you know, he might go ahead of Kool-Aid McKinstry. He might go ahead of Nate Wiggins. He might go ahead of Cooper DeJean. You know, those are all Americans. Those are names that the college football fan knows. But Quinyon Mitchell has dominated the process so far. And to come out, you know, and run a 4.33 in the 40-yard dash, one of the fastest times for any corner, and also to then turn around and bench 20 times, 225 pounds, shows you, like, he's a total package as an athlete. He's a total package as a corner, and he has absolutely made himself a lot of money the last 2 months.
Two teams that I don't know, I don't believe they'll be able to get into the top three, maybe not even the top five. They're looking for quarterbacks. One, the Raiders at 13, and now the Donkeys of Denver at 12. You know, with Russell Wilson being jettisoned already by the Denver Broncos today, what do you expect of those two teams to realistically be able to do with a quarterback position in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's trying to figure out where that fourth quarterback goes right now because Caleb Williams is going to go first. Either Jaden Daniels or Drake May will go second. Well, very, very likely the next one goes third to New England. So if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you're sitting at number four overall, and you have that decision to make of how far back do we want to go, because those teams that you mentioned are very much in play. I think you have to also look at even the New York Giants at number six overall are a team that are very much in play. So Arizona, if they want to be sellers in this draft, they can be. And that's the spot where there are going to be several teams. Minnesota, depending on what happens with Kirk Cousins, is right there. Denver and Las Vegas have massive needs at the quarterback position. And to go from, let's say, Denver at 12, the Raiders at 13, to go up to four, we're talking multiple future first-round picks to do that. I mean, we can go back and look at what the San Francisco 49ers gave up to go from 12 to 3 to get Trey Lance. That's three first-round picks plus to do that. So if you're a team that has that quarterback need and you're going to go to four or five to get one, you are mortgaging your franchise, and you better hope you get it right, or you better hope you find a Brock Purdy if you get it wrong, basically, is the only way you can save yourself if you get that trade wrong.
We'll get you out of here with this, Matt. I was looking at the mock first round yesterday, and I was like, man, a lot of power programs. With the portal making it to where guys at programs like Toledo end up for their final year going to Alabama and Michigan, do you think the draft process is going to get easier for these teams because now Most of these top dudes are playing at one of 15 schools, and it becomes easier to evaluate them good on good.
There's going to be a lot less travel, which is a good thing for everyone involved. That part, I think it's getting easier to find guys is a great part of that, you know, equation of, you know, we're not, you know, sending guys, you know, to the middle of South Dakota to see players as much anymore. So, you know, it does hurt the smaller schools. Absolutely does. It waters that product down, and I feel badly for those schools. But, you know, I'm looking at my top 20, as you said that, and Toledo's the only school that's not, you know, like a powerhouse. You know, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say North Carolina, I guess, is kind of in that mix. But we're talking about USC, Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Alabama, like Texas. You know, that's something I hadn't really thought of, but my frequent flyer miles will probably be going down the more we see guys jump into the portal.
That's the bad side of it. Matt, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, especially on the heels of a very busy weekend for you. Thank you, bud.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
All right, Matt Miller joining us here on his recap from the Combine right here on ESPN Radio. All right, coming up, when you return, Matt Jones has a remarkable story about a redneck in his pickup truck that changed the outcome of a big-time game right here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm superstitious when it comes to wagering. If you hit a ditch betting the ponies, get your fat butt up, move over to a different seat on the couch. Next thing you know, you hit a trifecta box. With Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio. Matt, you have a remarkable story about a fellow redneck, his pickup truck, and a Kentucky basketball game. Please, sir, the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, I want to say to everybody listening, forget about the fact that it's college basketball or Kentucky. This could be all of you. And I would encourage 888-SAY-ESPN if this is you. Because I think every fan has had this moment. So I was at my house Saturday. Kentucky's playing Arkansas at Rupp Arena. I have a house pretty close to the arena. I look out my patio and I see a guy, Ian, standing in the bed of his pickup truck with his head laying on the top of it and his cell phone on the top of it, and he is listening to the game. There are 7 minutes to go. Kentucky is down 5, and he is listening to the game, pacing back and forth in his pickup truck. He had been at the game inside. Kentucky fell behind, and he got so nervous he left the game that he had tickets to stand in the back of his pickup truck and listen to the end of the game. And I took a picture of him, which I posted on my Twitter account, at KY Sports Radio. And it, to me, is the picture that is the epitome of fandom. He was so nervous that he thought him leaving would help Kentucky win. Well, Kentucky comes back, ends up winning, and he called my show today and is taking credit for the fact that him leaving caused Kentucky to come back. And so before everybody laughs at this guy, though, I was sitting there thinking, that's how I am. I sometimes believe that the shirt I will wear or where I stand in my apartment will affect the game. And so even though he looked ridiculous standing in the back of his pickup truck, I have to say, to me, Ian, that's the epitome of fandom. You believe in your team so much that you think you affect them by your actions.
1,000,000%. I mean, and we've all done it.
Everyone's done it.
If you haven't, you are not, you know, obsessed with your particular either football team, basketball team, baseball team, or just wagering. I mean,
do you have one for the Cowboys, like one that
I'm not a Cowboy fan. No.
Or whoever it is. Who do you like?
Well, my brother coaches for the Seattle Seahawks now, so I'm a Seahawks fan. But I grew up North Shore, New Orleans, you know.
Okay.
So I'm a Saints fan.
All right.
I mean,
so when the Saints play, do you have like a ritual or something you do?
I'm beyond that. Mine now comes with wagering. Now, when growing up, I had the same Archie Manning, you know, jersey, the traditional black with the gold letters, white outline, number 8, that I would wear every week. But it didn't matter because we stunk. I mean, we were absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, you all were.
I mean, just an embarrassment.
Can I give you you're in Dallas. Here's a true story of mine. 2014. Kentucky's playing Wisconsin in the Final Four in Dallas.
I was there.
I go. Kentucky falls behind. I get in my car. I leave the arena just like this guy does. I get in my car and I start driving up and down the interstate that's next to Cowboy Stadium there. All of a sudden, Kentucky, I pull over like just on like one of the access roads. As soon as I pull over, Kentucky hits a 3 to take the lead. I stay pulled over for the rest of the game on the side of the road in the exact spot I was in when they took the lead. Of course, Kentucky went on to win, and I give myself most of the credit for the game.
I love it. Wagering, I will get up from one spot and move to a different spot in the house. I'll even switch rooms at times if I have to. If I'm in a ditch betting the ponies, I will get up and move to it. And if I hit a race, then I will the remainder of the day I'm in that spot betting on ponies. Absolutely. So, James Steele is super. I mean, look, I wouldn't even call it superstition. It's just how we're built. If you really love something or a team, you know, then you and things aren't going well, you're going to change what you just did. Like the guy leaving Kentucky basketball to go stand in the back of his pickup in the parking lot where he had tickets to the game and now credits himself with a come-from-behind win for Kentucky. You credit yourself for leaving a Final Four game.
Left a Final Four game. James, have you done one of these?
I mean, I am that superstitious. I agonized over what shirt to wear for the last two Chiefs Super Bowls. I chose correctly. I have to get some credit for it, right?
You chose correctly.
I mean, I must have.
Do you think Mahomes and Kelsey know that you were the one that actually made the decision?
It's like the good juju you send and I, you know? Whenever I'm a Penguins fan, too, so the first cup run in 2016 – I was here, like, working a lot, and I had to sit in the same spot in screening to watch those games. I am a psychopath.
A guy called into my Sunday morning show I do with Myron, and he said he had a baby. You'll like this. He had a baby that was wearing a certain Bengals shirt when they beat the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl last year. He now makes that baby wear the same shirt for every Bengals game.
I get it.
So I asked him, when the baby grows up and grows out of the shirt, what are you going to do? Do you want to know what his answer was? He said he's already figured out. He's going to take that shirt and sew it on the inside of another shirt and make his baby wear that. And he said as the child gets older, he's going to keep sewing the shirts into the other shirts to make his child do it so the Bengals will keep winning.
That's absolute genius.
Amazing.
And sick at the same time. It is genius and somewhat psychotic.
I mean, what age does the child get to pick for himself?
Never.
What he wears. And the guy was like, not until Burrow retires.
Choice has been made. Sorry, kid.
It's done. It's not your decision. Hey, look, that's sports fans, that's superstitions in general, man, and I'm all about it. I'm all for it. And to the guy who left the Kentucky game to go stand in the back of his pickup truck, pacing back and forth, listening to the game on his phone right near your house, congratulations. That dub is all on you, man.
The bad luck for him is that it was my house, and I took his picture and put it on the internet because he couldn't have thought he thought he was like in the loneliest place he could be, and then I ended up putting him on the internet.
There's a creeper on a porch with a cell phone named
hey,
Matt
watch
Jones.
It now. You can't say that.
Hey, quick update. Duke, congratulations. You have won yet again. 79-64 there on top of NC State. Man, it must stink to be a Wolfpack fan. 30 seconds to go in the game. Duke is now just not only covered but destroyed the NC State Wolfpack, and that was a close game. The number was 7. Clippers on top of the Bucks right now, 46-41, just under 5 minutes to go in the first half. All right, coming up next, speaking of the Bucks, are we a believer now in this team? Are they starting to turn a corner with Doc Rivers? a three-time NBA champion, answers that very question when you return right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 with Matt Jones and me and Fitzsimmons.